Hello, hello. Welcome to What to Read Wednesdays, your go-to podcast for staff picks from your friends at Delaware County District Library. Here, we'll talk about books, podcasts, and other relevant media. I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Good morning, friends. For those of you who eagerly wait for this podcast to drop, I'm just kidding. If it's a little late, my sincerest apologies. This week has been insane for me, and I completely dropped the ball on this podcast. It's also going to be a bit of a short one, since, of course, I also didn't send out an email to my colleagues for reviews. But no matter, I have been reading quite a bit lately and have some things to say about those books. However, what is What to Read Wednesdays with Annie if we did not feature Mark in here somewhere? I mean, obviously it would still be the podcast, but it wouldn't be the same. So here is Mark's latest recommendation.
Hello, my name is Mark Stevens, and I work circulation at the Powell Branch. The book I'd like to review for you is entitled A Woman of No Importance by Sonia Purnell, and that is spelled P-U-R-N-E-L-L. I would suggest this book for adult readers or young adult readers who are interested in World War II or in women's rights. Today, I'd like to tell you about this compelling biography I just finished that reads like an electrifying spy thriller. You've probably heard the expression, truth is stranger than fiction. Well, that phrase came definitely to mind as I learned all about Virginia Hall because her unbelievable courage and remarkable heroism so often seems too amazing to be anything but fiction. Shockingly, up until this Amazon Best Book of the Month was published in April of 2019, Virginia's story had never been told, in spite of her being credited with significantly shortening the war in Europe against the Nazis, and the Gestapo sending out the alert in 1942, quote, "She is the most dangerous of all Allied spies. We must find and destroy her," end of quote. Virginia's mother, who was a Baltimore socialite, certainly never planned for her daughter to spend most of World War II living in France and creating and leading the French Resistance. On the contrary, her mother pushed her beautiful, well-educated daughter to be a debutante and to marry well. But indomitable Virginia scorned that fluff lifestyle. Instead, she joined Britain's Special Operations Executive, which was Britain's spy unit, after the United States State Department refused to hire her as a diplomat. The overwhelming reason for this was that she was a female in a man's world, a problem she fought constantly against all her adult life and really never conquered. Without a doubt, if she had been a man, her successes would not have been ignored then or for all these years. Truly, what this woman did to defeat the Nazis makes her an astonishing heroine and seem more talented than James Bond. Working undercover, she set up vast networks of the French Resistance, established safe houses, organized weapon drops to be parachuted, and personally supervised teams countless times, which blew up bridges and buildings. She also drove ambulances behind enemy lines carrying the wounded. And she did all these things in spite of her talents being downplayed or outright ignored by the bureaucratic establishment until it finally had to acknowledge no one was a better spy than she was. She even wore a wooden prosthetic on her one leg due to a hunting accident she had as a young woman, which didn't stop her from hiking over the Pyrenees Mountains into Spain when her cover was blown in France. Remember how Harriet Tubman bravely went south to fulfill what she saw as her responsibility? Well, so did Virginia go back to France, elaborately disguised as a peasant woman. She even had a Hollywood makeup artist show her how to change her face and had a dentist grind down her teeth so she would appear to look more like a peasant. This intelligent woman who knew five languages worked for various French farmers caring for their animals as a befuddled older woman to throw off the Gestapo. Even though her face was plastered on wanted posters all over Vichy France, she now appeared as an older, shuffling woman instead of the 38-year-old woman she really was. Tending to the farm, to be believable, took all her time during the day, so she took Benzedrine and other drugs to allow her to further the goals of the French resistance at night. She endangered her health to keep others safe. There are so many more details I could tell you about the countless dangers and close calls Virginia faced. Obviously, this book will be a page-turner for anyone who is interested in France during World War II, but this book will also really interest those who care about social justice. It's heartbreaking to see Virginia be so discriminated against due to her being a woman. It brought to mind that 2016 movie Hidden Figures about the three African-American women discriminated against in the 1960s at NASA. I have no doubt that this book will be made into a movie. This book has won numerous awards. A few of them are being designated Best Book of the Year by NPR, by the New York Library, and by several newspapers. We should all be so glad that this story has finally been told of this incredible woman who ironically avoided honors and the limelight. She was such a force for good and saved countless lives by shortening World War II, and she deserves to be known by many. I rated this book 5 stars on Goodreads, and it is available on Libby. It has 368 pages.
I definitely remember when this book came out, and it is on my to-read list, of course. I think what struck me the most when I heard about that story was that Virginia had a fake leg, not due to her work in the war effort, but to a hunting accident. Like, she had a fake leg before this all started, before she did all of these amazing things. My pain tolerance is exceedingly low, and I would say my courage as well. And that would have been a perfect excuse not to use my talents for something so extraordinary. I love it. All right, what I recently read a number of books I'd like to talk about. One was Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. I saw that it was available on Libby when I was browsing, so I checked it out. I was curious to see what all the fuss was about with this book, since it was one of the most like in-demand books that I had ever seen. I'm not gonna lie, it was a page-turner, but I was also really disappointed. I love books about nature. I love how Kaya loved the marsh, how she cherished and treasured it. I love that Aldo Leopold made it into the book. Like, she read A Sand County Almanac, which is one of my I read it in high school. I had to read it in high school, and I loved that book. There were parts that were very sad, of course, but I loved how she overcame many of them. I also loved Tate's character. He was so great. He was flawed. Like, she made him human. She made him, you know, a guy. However, I did not like the overall message. I can't get into it without giving away major plot lines and spoilers. So what I will say is that if you liked this book, pick up Jean Staten Porter's The Girl of the Limberlost. It has a similar story of like a girl in nature. It's a beautiful story. It's really, really beautiful. And I much preferred that one over Where the Crawdads Sing. The other book that I read, which may get me in trouble, was Junie B. Jones and the Stupid Smelly Bus by Barbara Parker. I had not read that series when I was a kid, but it is a really popular one. I would not give it to a child of that age group for which it is intended. Junie is a stinker, to be frank. I don't think I would want my child to read it and think Junie B. Jones' behavior was appropriate. However, I actually would recommend this book to adults and like older, more mature kids. And here's why. Barbara Parker captures the thoughts of a six-year-old so well. When I was reading it, I felt like she had followed me around when I was in kindergarten. It's magnificent. I just thought that was it. It's amazing. It is amazing that she was able to capture what it felt like to be that age. I was impressed. So if you haven't read Junie B. Jones as a child, do so now. If you did and you love them, please don't hate me. All right, what I'm listening to. I finished Eric Larson's book, Thunderstruck. It's a book about the Marconi grams and how they were used to capture a very unlikely murderer in the early 20th century. The bit about the invention of the Marconi machine was boring. I'm not going to lie, it was boring. But the story of the murderer was really fascinating. I think I gave it like 3 out of 5 stars. It isn't Larson's best work. I felt like he ended it rather abruptly and poorly. It is one of his earlier books, so I'll give him some grace. If you haven't read any of Larson's books, I highly recommend Dead Wake, which is the book about the sinking of the Lusitania. Larson is a really, really fantastic storyteller. You often do not feel like you're reading a work of nonfiction. Like, he's such a good storyteller. I just started The Mysterious Benedict Society by Trenton Lee Stewart. I love it. It is fantastic. I love the old school feel of the book, the settings, the characters. I just love it. I just love it all. I'm just a few chapters in, but I really, really like it. They made it into a series on Disney Plus, and I wanted to see again what all the fuss was about. The narrator is perfect as well. He's new to me, but by the end of this book, he may become a favorite. He's great. What I'm looking forward to is the Death of Jane Lawrence by Caitlin Starling. It's supposed to come out October 5th. A woman of good standing in society decides to marry for convenience and ends up marrying a dashing but reclusive doctor whose only condition is that she not go to his mansion and family home. Dun, dun, dun. Sounds creepy, doesn't it? It's being compared to the classic Rebecca as well as American Gothic, which I read a couple months ago and loved it. I'm not a horror fan, as you all know, but I do love Gothic tales. So we shall see where this one falls. Like, I am looking forward to it. I like a good Gothic tale as we head into October, but I don't like horror, so we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited about it, but I'm also kind of like trepidatious. I don't want to get into something that's super gross. Okay, I think I've chatted enough. If you have questions or comments, email me at whattoread@delawarelibrary.org. I'd love to hear from you. This is What to Read Wednesdays with Annie, and I'm your host, Annie Pasma. Thanks for listening.